is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White. He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. Poy, much to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Good afternoon and welcome to One Bills Drive. Welcome to the show on this Wednesday as we approach the draft in a couple of weeks and approach the Bills veterans returning next Monday. They'll be here for our off-season conditioning program. We do have a special announcement to start the show. John Murphy here. Donald Jones standing by. He'll be joining us momentarily. We've talked for several months about how Donald is wrapping up his tenure here at One Bills Drive on the show. He wants to head back home to New Jersey, spend more time with his family. And we've talked for a while about replacing Donald. We've come up with a replacement. And he's sitting right next to me now. Those of you watching on MSG will recognize him. Our new co-host for the new show, Steve Tasker, joins me now. Steve, congratulations. Good to have you on the show.
Nice.
You're
going to
be here with us every day now, starting in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, a week from Monday. We're going to start full go, 23rd of April, you and me, and a new show.
A new show. The show is going to be called, you ready for this? I like this, too. Are you ready for this? One Bills Live. We're going to be at One Bills Drive with One Bills Live, myself and Steve Tasker, every day, 12 noon to 3, on our flagship radio station in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, and on MSG. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, starts a week from Monday, the 23rd, and Steve will be co-hosting.
Yeah, we'll be here, same time slot, noon to 3, and it'll be you and me every day talking about Bills and Buffalo stuff going on. And I told him when we decided to do the deal, listen, I'm too big a Sabres fan not to at least – during the Sabre season, when I got tickets, I'm going to talk about it. But they said, yeah, no problem. So, and all the other stuff that goes on in this city. So it's going to be a Buffalo show, mostly about the Bills, obviously, but also about our life as Bills fans and Bills people.
One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and it starts Monday, April 23rd. Steve Tasker will be joining us as co-host of the show. I'll still be here, still be sitting here and sharing the hosting duties with Steve when that starts on April 23rd. You and I have worked together a long time. We were talking about it this morning.
Time.
I mean, we go back to, 1989 at Channel 7 when we did the Steve Tasker show.
It's been for a while. Over 25 years, pushing 30 years for us being friends and working together in one way, shape, or form. And, you know, obviously there's been gaps in it where we're in different places. But, we've been on – I've been on a guest on your show. And I had my own TV show downtown.
Yeah.
We were together for that. It's been a long time.
I was thinking about that. Bob Koshinski, who was then the sports director, was the original co-host of the Steve Tasker show with you. There might have been somebody else in between us, but
It was you right from Bob, I'm pretty sure.
That was a heck of a show.
We had some fun.
We did. You were all in on that show. I remember
that. It was fun. It was I wanted to get into broadcasting and obviously I did after it was all over, after my career was over. But we had a good crew at Channel 7, a lot of good people working behind the scenes. We did some packages during the week to get ready for that show. And because it was something I wanted to do. And I was always a player. You know, it seems funny now, but I always thought, it's going to be my last year every year. You know, somebody's they're going to cut me. So I wanted to get ready for it. And subsequently now, 30 years later, I've been a broadcaster now longer than I played.
Right. Let's talk about that for a second. You broadcast there. You went to CBS when you got off the field with the Buffalo Bills. And that was, 21 years ago you started its NFL
1998,
on
yeah.
So you're going into your 21st season on the NFL.
This will be my 21st year of CBS, and then I've been had a couple of different roles for them, mostly in the booth for them, but also some sideline stuff, worked a couple of Super Bowls for them, did some feature stuff for Super Bowls and in the run-up to Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans before the lights went out. And then and this year my role is going to be different as well. I'm going to be a full-time sideline guy, which actually gave me the freedom to be on the radio with you 5 days a week instead of having to leave every Friday and be gone. I'll be leaving Saturday.
Have they announced what crew you're working with on CBS?
I don't know if they've announced it, but they told me, and it's gonna be Rich Gannon and Kevin Harlan. Those will be my guys I'll work with every week, and I'll be their sideline guy.
They're like the number two, number three crew.
Something like that. Yes. Three, four, something like that. They work every week.
Yeah.
So it'll be 17 weeks. So I'm going to be working 5 days with you and then 2 days on the weekend, seven days a week.
Are you ready for that?
Well, seeing as how I've never really had a real job, I don't know.
Steve Tasker in studio with us. If you have comments or questions for Steve about this move, he's going to be co-host of the show, One Bills Live, which premieres Monday, April 23rd. Give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. We got talking about this a couple of months ago, and you said that. I've never had a real job. I said, wait a minute. You've worked here as a player for 13 seasons.
Yeah, my real job, thought about a real job would be a 5-day a week all year round. You know, I've always had an off season. The CBS stuff, I always, you know, I didn't have anything to do from February all the way through till September, or when we started the preseason games with the Bills. So, and I, last year it really hit home that, man, I had nothing to do for a couple, you know, for weeks at a time. And I played a ton of golf. How much golf can you play? So I was really ready to start doing more if it was out there. And, you know, it came about that Donald wanted to make this move, and I was like, at first I was like, wow, I don't know, this might be too much, you know, that's a big move. But as we spoke about it and had conversations on both sides of it, it came that it seemed natural, and I just said okay.
The thing that's good about this show, and you probably already sense this if you don't know it already, every day is different. I mean, we walked in here yesterday. I walked in here, and our producer, Jay Harris, said to me, what about Richie? And I said, what about Richie? I mean, every day you come in.
What do you mean?
Exactly. You don't know really what awaits you when you come here to work, and I'm sure you will adapt to that, and you will like that when you get here on a regular basis.
Absolutely. And people always feel bad. Like yesterday I was traveling with my parents who came up to visit. I was out of town for the weekend visiting them, and I met some people in the airport in Atlanta connecting to Buffalo, and they felt bad coming up and saying hello, because they were Bills fans, and because I don't know, you know, I was like, no, part of what I love about my job is that people will come up and talk to me, and I like talking football. I mean, it's one of the things I love about my job. That's why I do my job, is because it's my favorite thing to do. So I love talking to people, and I love talking to you. We've been friends for a long time. It's going to be fun, and I love telling stories and listening to stories. So I'm really looking forward to it. Plus, you know, it sounds crazy, but I am kind of looking forward to the routine. I think I'm going to thrive in having a schedule that I have to be someplace.
What about your
I think
golf?
It's good for me.
What do you think it's going to do to your handicap?
I've been thinking about how, you know, my handicap can rise a few. It won't be the end of the world if I go from, you know, whatever it is. I don't want to say what it is now, but to whatever it is.
How many rounds of golf did you play last year?
An innumerable. I mean, I played every
hundreds,
day.
I'm guessing.
Yeah,
right?
Dozens anyway.
Yeah.
Oh. Dozens. I mean, the last time I played, though, and I was telling my dad this, I have not touched my golf clubs since October. I haven't, you know, because
you normal.
You know, yeah, right? That's the way it's the world in which we live. So, and I still haven't touched them this spring yet. So, my number will go up, but that's fine. I mean, I'm ready for that. I can still squeeze in some
holes of golf. You'll get in your golf. Steve Tasker joins us today. Donald's going to be with us in a couple of minutes. Steve's going to replace Donald as the co-host of the show. We've got a new name, too, One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, and we all get it started a couple of Mondays away. We get it started the week of the draft, so there will be no shortage of news that week.
Yeah, in fact, it's interesting. We're going to talk about this when Donald comes in a minute. I was getting into the airport here in Buffalo yesterday, and said hello to Baker Mayfield.
He was leaving Buffalo?
No, he was getting in.
He was getting in, too. Okay.
So I imagine either today's his day here or maybe last night and today or whatever. But I actually just bumped into Sean McDermott as well in the hallway outside. So, stuff's going on all the time.
Yeah.
Man. It's fun to keep abreast of it.
Yeah, you will like it. What do you want to do with the show? What do you want to do?
Like you said, there's no shortage of stuff to talk about with the Bills. And particularly as I think, and I think you'd agree with me, this is a team that's on the rise. No doubt about it. I mean, and so I think it's going to be fun to ride that wave with the organization as they move up through the ranks, and certainly the draft is going to be fun. But I'm looking forward to it because we're also going to be able to talk about things that not just Buffalo Bills stuff. There's going to be stuff going on in Buffalo, I think, in the coming days and in the coming years. That it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about. Not just the Sabres getting back into the prime of the playoffs and get into the chase for that, but also all the stuff that goes on around Buffalo. And we're going to go out. I know we're going to go out on location. We started talking about you and I maybe broadcasting from the Jim Kelly Golf Tournament over in Batavia when it happens, and that's always a hoot. Stuff like that going on. There's just a lot to talk about in Buffalo, and certainly the Bills are going to be the center of attention for us most of the time, but we'll also be able to talk about the relationship between the team and the fans.
I predict you will enjoy the broadcast from training camp. When you get out in the sunshine, in the, you know, a nice summer day, You watch a little practice. You do a couple of interviews. You feel it's to me, it's training camp doing this show. Even before the show, training camp has always been the perfect way to tee yourself up for the upcoming season, especially if you got to do play-by-play or in the broadcast that you'll be doing on CBS.
Yeah, it's interesting because you do get a chance to stand right there and watch these guys, and you can get a season's worth of information on one of these guys just watching him in one practice. You see how he interacts with his teammates, what kind of guy he is, how he plays. And you can get literally a volume of information from a two-hour practice if you just focus on one of these guys. And certainly you can do that for a bunch of these guys that you get a chance to see. And training camp is a blast. I mean, because all the stuff we talk about, like the draft and the combine, and all the stuff we talk about in the offseason, you get to the training camp, and it's like standing in front of a bonfire, man. Yeah. I mean, everything's going.
It's right there.
Everything is right there. It's pretty cool.
And not that you need it, but I bet you'll find – and you do the preseason broadcast, the Bills preseason games with Andrew Catalan. You've done that. You guys do great work, and you'll do that again this year. I think you'll find that being at camp every day really helps that. You know, not only do you just know the storylines and what's out there, but you have your own ideas. You'll have observations that you make watching practice every day.
I think the big thing, too, is particularly with this staff, is you get a chance of what the coaches think about these players.
Yep.
Because you can make your own assessments about what you think, and it means nothing what I think and what you think. The coaches have real strong opinions, and you can tell by the way they interact with them and what they say during practice and how they correct them during practice and the attitude they take. All that stuff gets thrown into it, and there's just, you know, it's just a wealth of knowledge you can get from just being there. And I think you're right. It's really going to help me cover this team. And we'll have guys like – and I get really have appreciation when I do stuff with the team, like guys that work for the team, like Brownie, Chris Brown. I laugh at him. He is totally eyeballs deep in the Bills constantly.
Yeah.
And if I ever had a question or anything like that, he's one of the guys I would say, well, what's he think about it? I go online and find out what he does. So it's going to be nice to kind of try and match his level of at least knowledge about what's going on with the roster.
If you just tuned in, Steve Tasker is on the set with us now. Donald's going to join us in a moment. Steve is now the new co-host of a new show that starts right here this time, these stations, One Bills Live. It starts a week from Monday, April 23rd, same time, 12 noon to 3 p.m. It is sponsored by Kaleida Health. And Steve will be the co-host with us for One Bills Live starting Monday, April 23rd. Can I tell you what as you said, we've been friends for decades now. What I really admire about you is your second career. The second act of your life as a broadcaster. 21st season coming up this year on the NFL on CBS. I mean, some guys jump into broadcasting and then get out after their playing days. You jumped into broadcasting and haven't left. That's impressive. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I hang around the broadcast industry like I hang around the Bills. Like more you can do and the more you're willing to do, the harder it is to get rid of you. And that's what gave me a 13-year career with the Bills, and now kind of made me, because I was willing to do some things other guys weren't doing. You know, they go moving from the booth down to the sidelines. Some guys didn't want to do that. I mean, I wasn't the first guy on their list of asking to do that, but because I was willing to do it and stuff and a good guy to work with for some of the crews that I did, I kept getting opportunities and kind of hung in there.
Well, you've wound up on the sideline in the one Super Bowl or more than one? Well, you've done Super Bowl.
I've done some radio. I've done some Super Bowl work. I did a couple of sidelines, actually. I did three sidelines, maybe, for CBS. 47 was the one in New Orleans.
Right.
I did two of them that were in Miami, the Colts against the Bears and the Colts against New Orleans. And then I also did the 49ers against the Ravens in New Orleans as well. So that was three of them that I was on the sidelines for.
So Super Bowl 47 was the Superdome in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Lights go out. Would you say that was maybe the most, I don't know if it's the highlight of your broadcast career?
I wish it was the highlight. It was a memorable moment. It's like live TV. You always want another chance to do it. So when the lights went out in New Orleans for Super Bowl 47, I was the only guy who had IFB, which means I could hear the truck.
Right.
So I knew my mic was on. And I could talk to them and we could formulate a plan. Nobody else could talk to anybody. So I was the only guy that left standing. So
Why was that? Were you on battery or?
Well, I had a hardwired mic,
which
was okay, but I had a wireless IFB, which means I
like the little pack we
have on now. The only things that were working were the hardwired gear. So my A2 did have a hardwired thing, and he made the determination. He goes, you can't hear. So he gave me his hardwired IFB, and I said, hey, okay, now I've got producer Lance Barrow. Lance, I got you. And so he goes, you got me. Oh, my. Okay, you're going to take it out of break in 5, 4, 3, you know. So it was real hectic for about 30 seconds there when they went and broke away for a commercial and came back. So I carried the broadcast for maybe 60 seconds, 90 seconds, maybe 30 seconds.
How long did it feel like?
Felt like an
hour.
Felt like about 5 minutes at least. Yeah. But, you know, and looking back on it, I wish I would have had another shot at doing a better job. And I wish I'd have known later what I
knew. People were impressed. People thought you did a great job. What are you talking about?
Great job, no. Nobody thought I did a great job. They thought we got through it, and I was the only guy there. So that was, if that was a highlight, I wish I'd have had a better career. So,
well, if you missed it, from Super Bowl 47, we have a video clip of the lights go out at the Super Bowl in New Orleans, and Steve had to fill in. Check this out. Here's what it looked like.
Now, for another update on the situation, we throw it back down to our own Steve Tasker, who's on the sideline. Steve?
Well, not much new to report, JB. The lights went out, and now they're trying to get them back on. Some players are stretching. Some are not. And as a favor, I'd like to ask you not to come back to me, because I have nothing to add. Back to you, JB.
All right, well, thanks, Steve. Oh, well, I've just received word that our own Steve Tasker on the sideline has some new information. Steve!
I don't know who told you that, JB. And I'm willing to bet that you made it up. Suffice it to say, I have no new information. Back to you, JB.
Back to you, Steve.
You can't back to you me. I just back to you. Back to you.
And right back to you.
Immortalized on Saturday Night Live. Of course, that wasn't Steve Tasker or James Brown for that matter. But pretty funny.
Yeah, I did it live. And there was like, there really, seriously, was like 110 million people watching live and all that. So, and I get off, and my phone was like crickets. Nobody said anything, said, hey, nice job, no good. And then a week later, at 11:30, when the Saturday Night Live skit ran, my phone blew up then. Oh, everybody saw the Saturday Night Live skit. And then I was famous.
Did you see it live? Did you know it was coming? Did anybody give you a heads up?
No.
So you had to go back and find it somewhere?
Yeah, I found it. Yeah. Just like you guys did.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
You're not, what? You look.
Nobody said, hey, wow, that was great. You did. Nobody. And then when I get spoofed, everybody's like, oh, you're famous. You made it. Saturday Night Live spoofed you.
You are. When you get made fun of on Saturday Night Live.
I know, right? There is
something
to it. You're
in the company of presidents, and so you are. I thought it was pretty impressive. Look, at least we know if we ever have technical issues here, if our lights go out, then we know who to go to now in the future when you're on the show.
That's right.
And you can fill for us.
And I'll try to do a better job than I did right then.
I think you did a fine job.
Yeah.
Steve Tasker joins us. He's going to be part of the show starting Monday, April 23rd. You're going to fill in a couple of days next week too, right?
Yeah, I'm going to come in between now and then just to kind of get it up and running. But we'll start hard and heavy. Now, it's kind of fun because all the stuff you have to do to get ready for this show, did we get the theme music? Did you pick the one you like?
That's our producer, Jay Harris. I don't think he's settled on it.
Yeah,
not sure if his vote is the official vote yet.
Well, I put it out to my family and all that. So they all have. There's five different things we're trying to pick from.
And yeah,
yeah. There's five different. I don't know what we're gonna do. Nobody can
decide.
These
are the big decisions. We have to make April 23rd. One of the things we're gonna do, Steve, and I think we're gonna get you or me from time to time down the hall, as you know, during the season when the Bills are practicing, after practice, talking directly to players, essentially as they come off the practice field. Rather than, you know, bring them in here, which we will do some of that too, get them as they come off the practice field.
Yeah, we're going to try and make fun. We'll make a big effort to try and get a little bit of live talk with these guys. I mean, we've got the facilities to do it.
Yeah.
We literally are – they're on the other side of the wall basically practicing, usually if they're practicing indoors in the field house. So we'll have – you know, I'll try and get out there with a hand mic and see if we can catch some of these guys. And we'll also – I'm going to try and – I think that's one of the benefits of being a – kind of a production like this is we can talk to Sean McDermott and say, hey, listen, could you say something to your players about us being okay to talk to, and maybe it'll work. And we'll get more access to these guys than they've given in the past.
We talked about when you got started in your broadcast career coming down to Channel 7 when I was there. You did stuff on the newscast from time to time, doing your own show. The landscape is so different now than it was 30, 35 years ago, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, if a guy wants to get involved in broadcasting here and now with the Buffalo Bills, all he has to do is walk down the hall. Lorenzo Alexander stands as an example of that.
That's right. And it's and that's typical of most clubs.
Yeah.
They've got a broadcast wing of the organization. And that, you know, that never existed before. You didn't have the production people, the PR people, the media relations people. We're all doing different stuff. And now with us sitting here, we've got a studio in-house. And that's typical of most clubs.
Yeah.
They've got a production arm that that gives these guys a chance. If they want to try and get into it, there's certainly doors that can be opened pretty easily.
What does your family think of this, Sarah and the kids, you know, the ones who are here?
They're kind of stoked about it. They're like, yeah.
Get you out of the house?
Yeah, it gets me out of the house. Plus, if they feel like it, they can, it'll give them a reason to turn the radio on and listen to me or turn it off. But, people, obviously, you know, you can get it on the internet too. So my brothers and some family members, they can go out of town, and there are people all across the country that can listen to GR on over the web or on the app, and it's kind of cool to have them to be able to chime in.
Well, we are really excited about getting it started. Thanks for doing this.
It's going to be fun.
Stick around for the rest of the hour here.
Yeah, I'll stick around for a while. We're going to talk about Richie Incognito and Baker Mayfield.
Consider
and
the rest of the hour, the rest of your tryout.
Okay.
You know, if it doesn't go well, then forget about it. No, just Steve Tasker, going to join the show. One Bills Live starts on Monday, April 23rd. It's a week from next Monday. Steve will be the co-host replacing Donald Jones, but not quite yet. Donald's standing by to join us when we return. Donald and Steve and I will talk a little bit about what's going on here today at One Bills Drive and around the NFL. So come on back for that. It is the John Murphy Show for now, for a couple more days anyway, and we're coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
With more of the John Murphy Show.
Back with more the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, co-host, rejoins us. Steve Tasker is going to stay with us, talk a little Bills football. But I'm sure, without me hearing, you've probably already told Steve what to watch out for working with me, right, Donald? You know all the pitfalls, all the stuff that I threw
in. Steve knew from a long time ago. I didn't have to tell him anything. He had to tell me when I first came on the show a couple years ago.
It's a circle of life.
I talked to him, yeah.
And nothing's changed, believe me.
Somebody tweeted in today that before Donald leaves, which is the end of this week, Friday, Steve,
right,
he's got to explain to me the definition of what? Swag?
Swag.
Swag sauce?
And
look,
swag.
There is
swag
no definition.
Yes, it is. The swag is it's an acronym. Stuff we all get.
Okay.
SWAG.
That's
stuff we all get.
The best definition of swag I've ever heard.
Stuff we all get.
I've never even heard that.
You like that? Is that okay?
Stuff we all get.
I mean, yeah, I guess. You know, I just said it's, look, everybody has their own swag and their own definition. It's a confidence thing for me. That's what it's about. You walk around with some confidence.
And it's morphed into a lot of things, obviously. Yeah. But it started out as swag, like stuff you get for free. Like the players would say, I got some swag. Well, what'd you get? And we got some free T-shirts, free hats, free that. That's swag.
Right.
You get swag. But now there are certain guys that have swag that get stuff nobody else gets. That's what it means now. It's like
that
stuff
right
he
there
gets.
There would be swag sauce.
There you go.
See, my contention is, and it's not just with Donald, but for the last several years, I don't think anybody can really define swag. And players would say, oh, we lost our swag. And I would say, well, what the heck does that mean? And
listen,
nobody can define it.
Swag, and it, you can tell what it means because it's something that you have that either everybody gets or that you got and once had and don't have anymore. So great teams all have a certain swag, stuff we all get, stuff good teams all get.
Right.
If you don't have that, you're not a good team because you don't have that. So that's you lost your swag, the stuff we all get.
You look at me like, you agree with that?
I mean, I agree. But like you said, everybody, it's kind of morphed into other things now.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Which
see,
takes
now,
me back
kind
to
of
my
your own
problem.
Swag.
It's morphed into, it means anything that anybody believes. There's no real definition.
Well,
of swag.
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
a little bit.
That's all that matters.
But
if
it
you
still
believe
has
it,
meaning.
That's what matters.
It still has meaning.
Well, we're going to, I'm sure this will be a topic for the new show, One Bills Live.
Is it going to be like this every day?
Yeah. If you say things like swag and swag sauce and this, or whatever,
I'm going to slow you down and say, please.
You give me a real real estate agent in Jersey.
What does that mean?
Donald, thanks for coming. Steve, thanks for coming. Let's talk about what's going on here. First of all, visits. And it's funny, the guys are in the hallways here and you kind of bump into them. Is that Josh Rosen? Is that, you know, Mason Rudolph last week? Steve ran into Baker Mayfield, right?
The linebacker that was with him. They were both getting in. They got on the same time I did last night. And I actually went over and said hey to the guy, and I said, hey, good luck. Because, you know,
did you ask him for an autograph?
No. Oh. Plus, I said, hey, I told him my name, and I was a former Bill and stuff.
You actually said that you were a player.
I said I was
a former
player.
I'm a former player.
I'm an old player. I just want to let you know, hey, it's a great team and everything, but there's a 1 in 32 chance you have no chance of being here. But good luck. I know it's going to be a blast, and I hope you enjoy it because it only happens once. I just kind of gave him like that. You know, I just said hello. I didn't say anything.
Hey, man, can I get a picture?
Yeah,
an autograph?
Yeah, I did not
get
that.
All of that stuff.
I did not do that. But it was kind of – and I was kind of sizing him. Taller than I thought. He's taller than I thought.
And did you – you mentioned to me before we came on the air, you got a sense, Steve, of some sort of swag, some sort of confidence?
No, but that's the thing about him. That's what he goes around. Mm-hmm. He's one of the players that, you know, was a little bit – got that Jim Kelly thing working where guys want to play for him. You know, they want to play hard for him. And it's one of the young – and I've said this too. These quarterbacks coming out, they're sophomores and juniors mm-hmm. coming out mostly. It's hard for them to come out as a kid – and step into a huddle with pro football players who are making seven figures,
right.
got a wife and kids and a mortgage and a business, and they're a brand in and of themselves, like a Shady McCoy. Mm-hmm. You've been down there, and you're going to tell Shady what to do. You better have something with you to convince him that you have a right to be in that huddle. You know, it's not like you're a senior and you've been in this program. You got to convince these guys that you're worth the trouble. And it's hard to do as a young player. So And this guy, Baker Mayfield, seems to be his forte. He's a guy that these guys are going to respond to.
You know, you get one of these kids in here, and they come into the huddle, and they're like a deer in headlights. You step out of the huddle. You're like, Coach, who's up? We got to get somebody else in here, man. This dude is scared. Look at him. He just threw up.
Willie
Beeman.
Yeah, you got to spit the play out and act like you know what's going on. Because if you get in there and go, you know.
Dude.
They start in on you.
Spit it out.
Oh, they start in on you big time.
Either one of you want to talk about a quarterback who had that sort of shaky
start? I didn't have a quarterback that had that type of shaky start. And this guy was a first-round pick. Now, I'm talking about Vince Young. The year he came here and he was in training camp, he actually got into the huddle and just made up his own play. Because, yeah.
How did he do that?
He was like, yo, I want you to run a go route, you run a post, you run a dig. And we were all sitting in the huddle like, are you serious right now? Like, you really, you're not going to call the actual play? He was like, I don't remember the play. I was like, dude.
At least he was honest.
Listen, he was honest. But look, you wonder why these, there and ran it.
You wonder why these guys don't make it? I mean, come on.
Like, how do you go from in practice, the coach just gave you the play. The coach usually steps in the huddle and says, look, this is what we're running. Gave you the play, steps back. You forget to play that fast? I mean, how does that even happen? And then you just – but you got to give it to him, though. Give him his credit for just coming off the cuff like that and making up
a guess.
You know?
I guess.
It was something he probably just drew up. He thought up in his dreams, like, I want you to run a go. I've always wanted to run this play. Run a go. You run a post and you run a dig.
And after the play, any coaches say, hey, what are you doing? Vince Young, what was that? Right?
Everybody looked at Vince. Like, yo, don't look at us. Look, we ran what he told us to run in the huddle.
That's the thing, too. You get quarterbacks, and I heard this as well back in the day where a guy would come in and say, hey, let's run this and this. And the offensive line would go, what's the protection? He goes, yeah, you know it. Break. You know, they decide yourself.
Like, what?
And it's like, bro, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You cannot do that.
Right now. We have no clue which way we're supposed to go.
We're with Donald, of course, and Steve Tasker, and you can join us to talk about whatever you'd like for the next half hour or so. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we're going to talk with Demario Davis, New Orleans Saints linebacker. He's coming to Buffalo this weekend for the Frank Reich Call to Courage event, the breakfast. I'll be emceeing. Steve, you'll be a part of that this Sunday, right? Saturday morning, right?
Yeah.
We're doing and it's kind of going to be fun, the State of the NFL Roundtable. You, me, Jerry Butler is coming in for that. Lorenzo Alexander is going to be part of that. That could be fun. At any rate, Demario Davis at 1 at 2 o'clock. Steve, you're going to want to stick around to hear what the general manager of the Sabres says. Jason Bottrell news conference. We'll carry it live on this show, and we'll have the instigators back in here to do that. Craig Revey and Andrew Peters to anchor you through that. So a two-hour show today. Steve's with us for the rest of this hour, and Demario Davis coming up at 1 o'clock. Steve, the news of the day, Donald and I talked about it all yesterday, was Richie Incognito's surprise announcement about retiring. What did you think when you heard that, and what do you think of it today?
Well, like most fans, I'm thinking, well, first about the team. You know, you think, wow, that's a Pro Bowl guard they're losing. That's one, and it was already something that people were kind of worried about, thinking maybe they should take a guy in the draft. And now they have to. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got to, and they're probably going to sign at least one more free agent to fill out the roster and then get the number of guys they want in camp. Now they lost Richie and Wood. That's big. Now they got the whole offensive line is now, I think, in an upheaval.
Yeah.
They got some work to do up front. With a new quarterback, whoever it's going to be, I think that's a big blow to the organization. And then after I got through all of that, how they're going to – they've got to really now – it's a top priority, in my opinion, right next to quarterback. Now, then you think, wow, Richie called it quits and walked away from $4 million a year. You know he's not feeling very good.
Yeah, you know, for me yesterday, and we had talked about this yesterday, for me it's not that big of a blow just because it's a guard, and that's not to knock the position.
No, I'm like, with you.
But,
I get it.
You know, it's like, look, you can draft one of these guys in the third, fourth round, and they can probably step in and be a serviceable player for you. And you could slide Groy over to guard. You could step him in. You brought him back for a reason. You know, I think Richie has gone to some Pro Bowls since he's been here, but it's not like you lost your left tackle. If you lost your left tackle, we need to talk about this. You might need to draft one in the first round because there's too many great, great defensive ends in this league or pass rushers, period. But you lose a guard, it's like you can probably find somebody to plug in there and make it work for you.
I'm not saying it's good, Steve, but Donald heard me say this yesterday. The search for a quarterback, for a first-round franchise-caliber quarterback, I think is too important to be sidetracked by retirement of a guard.
Oh,
so they started last year on draft day, kind of, I think, this process of finding the next quarterback, the next franchise quarterback. Don't deviate from that now. I would keep with the plan you have, which I believe means an attempt to move up early into the first round. And I don't think the retirement of even a Pro Bowl guard like Richie Incognito should get him off that.
Absolutely. You're right. No question. It's not something that you're going to change courses for. And Donald's right, too. I mean, if you talk about a guard, you know, in a perfect world, either guard you take, right or left, has got to be at least the third best offensive lineman up front, because your left tackle is obviously the guy you want to be best, and your right tackle is kind of the same mold. And usually, most times, the center is more important than either guard. So, and you're right, the guard is a guy you can cover up because there's no space. So a lesser athlete, a guy who doesn't have to run like a tackle, doesn't have to get off the ball 7 yards. So a guard has less space to move. The guy has a harder time getting away from him. Really what you need is a big body in there with some hands and some strength and some drive power. But so you're right. A guard is probably the easiest spot on the offensive line to replace. Being a Pro Bowl guard adds a little level of difficulty to that. But by the same token, you're right. I'm with you, Murph. Do not get sidetracked towards off job one of getting the quarterback question answered, or at least having an answer for it. But nevertheless, Richie was a leader. You saw what LeSean McCoy tweeted out. He was his favorite guy on the team. It's going to affect the culture, particularly in the offensive line room.
He's the one that was pulling around. He's the one that was kicking
Shady knows
out.
Where his bread's buttered. Yeah,
exactly.
He wants to, keep those guys happy. No
That's
question.
Why Shady's like, I give you $300,000, man. Just stay here.
He can't do that, right?
He can do whatever
he
wants.
He can do whatever he wants. Man. Yeah. It's his money.
Can you really give a player $300,000 that much money? Could you really? You couldn't do that. I mean,
the only
the
thing you have
step
to say,
in and
it's
say
not
you
whether you can do it or not. It's like, do you give it to him in a soft-sided case, or do you give it to him in a paper bag or a hard-sided briefcase?
I think I said that to you yesterday, Murph. It's like, all right, what if Richie came back and was like, you know what? All right, Shady.
$300,000.
Then Shady's like, wait, can I break this up now? Can we do this in installments or
pay
something
it,
like that?
Yeah, over the next 7 years, I'll pay you there.
I don't know, Steve. It's not good that Richie's retiring. It wasn't good that Wood's retiring. And the one thing, a week ago, Don and I were talking, and I made the point that they haven't lost a lot from the 2017 roster going into 2018. Yes, there's still a draft to come and more replacements coming. But all of a sudden, with the Richie retirement, with everything, it feels like, this is significant, right? There have been some departures here that are going to mean something, I would think.
They lost some personality and something that gave them their identity in the locker room,
right.
A guy that had a voice. And that goes a long way in the everyday. You know what it's like. You go in there every day, and there are certain things you look for, certain cues that you got to say hi to. A guy's always going to have something to say. Whatever. And, you know, some days you go in, you know the topic of the day in the locker room is going to be, because it was on the news or somebody said something or it's all over social media, so you're waiting for the guys to talk about it. And now they're going to have one important voice that's not going to be there. It's going to change the dynamic in the locker room a little bit. Not that it's going to, you know, crush it or do it. But it's going to sound different because Richie had a voice.
You know, when I left here, Stevie was here for another season. And there was probably one person in the locker room that could talk to Stevie about anything, and that was me, just because we had that relationship. And I remember when I left, and everyone knows that Stevie's last year here wasn't the same. Stevie had just lost his mom. He was going through a lot. He wasn't seeing eye to eye with Doug Marrone. And he wasn't getting the ball. And so I remember talking to him, and he was like, yo, I wish he was here, man. Like, I don't have anybody to talk to. And I'm like, what you mean? I mean, you still got Marcus. You still got a bunch of guys that were in the locker room last year. He was like, it's not the same without you. And that's the truth. When you have certain guys that leave a locker room that you're used to talking to, you're used to hanging with on a regular basis, you'll go over each other's houses, we talk, even holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you're having dinner, stuff like that all the time. You go on vacations, you do everything together, and then that person is gone, then it's like you kind of lost. And you hope it doesn't affect you on the field, but it's something that can affect you.
Yeah. Steve, how much do you think not that – I think we both agree it won't affect the Bills' draft plans, at least their overall approach going into the draft. But Sean McDermott, who's concerned about more than the draft, how much does it affect his approach to this team, creating new teammates, you know, creating a different culture, losing a guy who, let's face it, Richie was his own guy. I mean, he was a little bit different.
Yeah.
Maybe there's an upside to him not being around because he's a little bit different. But I wonder how much that changed. We were talking about McDermott's quote from the owners meeting 2 weeks ago about his first – 3 months he felt like he was trying to get a drink out of a fire hose. The fire hose hasn't stopped.
Yeah.
You know, stuff keeps happening. And it always does in the NFL. Things change in an instant. It changed in an instant for the Bills yesterday and for Sean McDermott.
Yeah, and you got to trust. And I think Sean and Brandon Bean, the one thing I think that they've earned is they've earned a lot of benefit of the doubt and a lot of faith from people watching from the outside. Because I thought they really hit a home run this last year, getting to the playoffs like they did when early in the season it looked like they were tanking. And to turn that around and make the acquisitions that they did, with the players that they did, the trades that they did to get the draft capital, I mean, they've done a lot of great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they've always preached is this process thing. So you got to know that part of that is making sure you're deep enough in your roster so that if something like this happens, when something like this happens, not if, when, you got a plan. And I think the guys they have on the roster, they got a lot of faith in. I don't think there's any question. John Miller, after being the most improved NFL guard in the league after his first year into his second year, his third year kind of took a step back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is he going to act when he does it? How is Deion Dawkins? Is he going to come back like a pro, or is he going to come back like a guy who thinks he's already made it now that he's playing left tackle? Is he going to come back fat and sloppy like Carlos Williams did 3 years ago when he came back 40 pounds overweight and is out of the league?
He's eating ice cream.
You know, you got to know that. You don't know about these young players who made a significant contribution this last year. And you got to kind of think Tre'Davious White's going to come back all right. Guys like that, those high. But there's some guys that are going to take a step back.
Yeah.
And then there's also guys said, man, I am sick of being a backup.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so all that goes into the mix. And certainly Sean McDermott's got to have his. If he sees some guys in the roster think that guy's going to step up this year, he's our guy, then they don't have to worry about drafting a guy like that. Maybe they think Groy's going to be the guy. They know he can be, and they were waiting on the chance to get him in there. Those kind of things happen around the roster. But I think, for me, the process that McDermott keeps talking about is made for this kind of situation.
I mean, the happiest guys on the roster right now, and happy because now they get their shot. The one thing you know when you're in the NFL – that injuries will happen. You know different things will happen. And you know at some point you'll probably get your shot. Now, you know, not all guys get their shot. But at some point, most guys get a shot. Some of them take advantage of it. Others don't. And so if you see a guy go down or you see a guy retire due to injury, due to health or something like that, you really hurt for that guy. But at the same time, you're like, this is my opportunity now. So in those terms, the happiest guys on the team are Ryan Groy and John Miller.
Yeah.
Because those two guys, John Miller was a guy coming into last year who thought that he was going to be the right guard. He was coming off a very good season, and then all of a sudden things changed for him. And he found himself a healthy scratch for what, like 12 games or something like that. Then Ryan Groy, they matched his offer sheet. So, you know, he got some millions in the bank, but he still hasn't had that opportunity to really play, aside from when Eric Will went down the first time. He hasn't had that chance to step in and I'm the guy now. I'm the starter now, you know. So those two guys, they got to be excited about the opportunity. And I hope that they come into mini camps as they start next week, or not mini camps, but just the off-season conditioning, and those guys get ready for the mini camps. They carry that into the summer and over to training camp, and they're ready to go, and they'll get their opportunity.
Talking about Richie, talking about quarterbacks, talking about whatever you'd like to talk about. Phone lines open, Donald and Steve, stay with us for the next several minutes here on the show. Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
More of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. Steve Tasker with us for a few more minutes. You're welcome to join us. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Demario Davis, Saints linebacker, joins us at 1, and we will be carrying the instigators. We'll be back to carry the Jason Bottrell news conference at 2 o'clock. We get an hour shorter show.
I'm loving it.
How often is that going to happen for me and you, Murphy?
It doesn't happen enough.
Yeah. 2 hours, the difference between a two-hour show and a three-hour show It's an hour. But it feels different, doesn't it?
Yeah, there is a difference.
No, that hour, that extra hour. When we get to 2 o'clock and you're like, man, we got another hour of this thing?
All
right.
I'm just thinking about all those working people out there thinking,
yeah,
guys, y'all are right? Complaining about working 3-hour day? A little bit more than that.
I got my little 30-minute break right now. Yeah. I got to go back for another 5 hours
of
work.
How about the guy? Remember the guy would call in from the parking lot?
The parking
lot
at Geico, yeah. And he had the gecko next to him in the seatbelt.
Here's a call from Tom in West Seneca. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the show.
John, Don, Steve, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
Last week I called in and I misspoke. I said I would not want to be the guy to make the decision about the quarterback, but
you do want to be the guy.
But the thing is, I was thinking at the time that Baker Mayfield was going to be maybe out of reach, but. My thought process has changed on that. I think he's still within reach. And I want to say about Richie Cognito, I was in the 7%, by the way. I think that we'll be able to replace him, and there'll be no problem there at all. And also, being that Baker Mayfield is going to visit with the Bills, it is my understanding now that somebody straightened me out on it, that they can't talk anything about money. The money has a pretty loud voice, but they can't talk about it previous to the draft. Anyways, and I can't believe I find it hard to fathom that Tyrod Taylor, well, he was taken by Cleveland from us, but the thing is, I think maybe Cleveland's thinking they're going to start him. But if
they are. Hey, you had something to say about the money, Donald.
All right. He had a lot there.
Yeah.
You really had a lot there. The money thing, Tom, when you get drafted into a certain slot, the money is already what it is based on what the guy got last year. So, I mean, there's not really – and that's with the whole new CBA. That's why you don't see these rookies holding out like you used to before this CBA, because the money is a lot lower and the money is what it is. It is that slot. And so there's not much negotiations involved in that, you know. So, and you definitely – I mean, there's – why would we talk about money? There's no money to talk about right now. Yeah. That's why you even – when these guys right now, certain guys, the first-round guys, they might already be talking to, like, financial advisors and stuff, but it's like, why are you even talking to them? You have no money in your pocket. You don't know how much money you're going to have. And all they're trying to do is rip you off. No, I'm just playing. Some of them are good. Some of them are good, but
– That's true. I mean, there's only so much they can do, and – you know, there's a lot of to what Tom said. I mean, these pre-draft visits are so they can find out about these guys, and that's the real issue. We don't know what the Bills think about Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph, Lamar Jackson. We have no idea what the Bills think of them. I'm sure they've got them ranked 1 through 5, the ones they like, and there may be some guy we don't know about that's number 3.
Right.
That's what we don't know. And it's also true that we don't know what Cleveland thinks. We don't know what the Giants are going to do. We don't know which one the Jets are going to take. We don't know which one the Browns are going to do, if they're going to take Saquon Barkley or Chubb or somebody. You don't know what the Broncos are thinking. All those teams have different evaluations of the same 5 or 6 guys, and maybe throw in a 7th or 8th guy too, just like the Bills. Mm-hmm. It's a huge mix of stuff you just don't know, and they're trying to keep secret. So it's all conjecture at this point. It's when you look at those guys and see what you like about them, what you don't like, which attributes you think are more important than the attributes this guy has. That's the big question. It's so fun to talk about. That's why we could, you know, the draft could be in 2020. We could still talk about it every day because you have to talk about every combination that could possibly happen.
Steve, Ian Rappaport tweeted out 2 days ago now that the Bills have a contingent going out to work out Sam Darnold at USC on Friday of this week, a couple of weeks away. What do we take from that? Donald and I have talked about it for a few days, but what do you take from that?
Let me just let you know what I take from it. They wanted to get out of Buffalo and get to LA.
That's right. They took their golf clubs.
Right.
And that's what they got out of it.
Yeah, maybe.
No, they just – listen, they got to know. What happens if Darnold falls to them? What if they trade up to number 3 or 4 or 4 or 2 with the Giants or 4 or 5 and he's there? And they don't even know.
Right.
They didn't check him out. You just don't – that it speaks to the unpredictability of what happens on draft day. And I've said, too, I do think the Bills are going to move, but I also think that it's going to happen on draft day once the clock starts. I think it's going to happen on that day in the first round when the Giants come up on the clock. They're going to be on the phone with people, either the Bills or the Arizona Cardinals or somebody else, and it's going to be highest bidder to talk the Giants out of that pick. Or it's going to be the Browns' second pick. They're going to get more pick. You know, I think that the Bills really want to move up, and it's all a question of how. And I think they may be on the phone with John Elway and the Broncos as well. So all this stuff's in play.
I think they got a budget, you know, or Pegula's like, look, I'm giving y'all this amount of money. Because last year I saw all types of crazy stakes and everything. All types of flights and all types of stuff going on. This is your budget. I don't want you guys taking all these unnecessary trips.
No, I don't think they have that budget.
Yeah,
you've been here a couple of years. You know there's no such budget.
I don't. Yeah, on the football side of it,
they make it
happen. What you got to do. You got to do what you got to do.
I think what I take from it is that the Bills have not given up on moving up, and I think you've said that too.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can wait till draft night though, because every day that passes, I think the Giants have a little bit more leverage. I would think it would behoove the Bills or anybody else if they're going to move up.
I don't know.
To at least move up partially from 12 to 6, 5, 7.
That could be.
Before the draft night. Because then you got to give up a lot on draft night.
That could be. But it could be just the opposite. It could be the Giants are sitting there going, we're going to get our best deal. And all of a sudden, the Giants are going to get stuck picking somebody that they'd rather have 3 or 2 picks rather than make this pick on this guy because they got too many holes on their roster. Same thing with the Broncos. Same thing with the Browns. It may be it gets to the point where who are we going to pick? Now we got to pick this guy, and he's not even going to play for a year. You're going to pick Baker Mayfield, and we're going to still go with Eli for this first year? I mean, why do we want to do that? Or it may be that they just don't want to get stuck with that pick. Not that they're stuck with it. They're going to get a good player, but it may not be their plan. And then once they're on the clock, they got to make that move. And it could be just the opposite of what you're saying, Murph, where, you know, the price goes up. It might just be that, okay, now they got to pull the trigger. They've got to make the move, and they got to follow a plan and trade down and get more picks to fill their roster out.
Donald, I don't know how you're going to walk away from this draft drama. Friday's your last day. You're going to miss this, man. You're going to miss it. No?
He's going to miss the radio. He's not going to miss you, man.
I'm not going to miss. I'm not going to miss talking about quarterbacks every day.
Okay.
And maybe that will silence. And then what happens? When you don't have quarterbacks to talk about every day, Murph, then what will you talk about?
I don't know.
Steve?
Sabres.
We call that
Sabres. Sabres. This show will be One Bill's Instigators.
You can always talk about it. If you're not talking about getting one, you're talking about the one you got.
Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah, I guess.
You know? It's either he's good or he stinks.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
We need a new one.
Steve, thanks for this. We'll see you around.
Man.
You're going to be doing some shows with us next week.
I'll be in next week, too. Donald, hey, man, it's awesome, man. It's good luck with the next step. I know we've been talking about some stuff going on.
Yeah, right.
And I hope that happens.
Oh, yeah.
And
thank you.
It's been great.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
And good luck with the show, guys.
Yeah,
thank you.
Good luck with the show.
Yeah, the new show. Yeah. One Bills Live. It starts Monday, April 23rd. Steve Tasker will take over as co-host with me, and that's coming up just a week or so from Monday. Stick around. When we come back, we're going to talk with Demario Davis, Saints linebacker, coming to town this weekend, part of Frank Reich's Call to Courage breakfast event. That's coming up next, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports.
update.
The update from One Bills Drive, and we start with our own little bit of news. The show is going to get rebooted in a week or so. We're going to call it One Bills Live. Steve Tasker replaces Donald Jones as co-host starting on Monday, April 23rd. That announcement just came about an hour ago. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, starts Monday, April 23rd. Buffalo Bills hosting quarterbacks and other draft prospects and pre-draft visits. They get 30 of them. The Bills not confirming any of the visits, but plenty of reports out there about quarterbacks, including Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield, on their way to Buffalo this week for a visit. Khalil Mack, UB product, Raiders pass rusher, a no-show for the Raiders voluntary workouts, and he is scheduled to earn $13.8 million in the fifth-year option of his rookie contract, but NFL Network says Mack is seeking guarantees in excess of $65 million in a new contract. Hopes to get that new contract before his fifth season begins. General Manager Les Snead of the Rams assures reporters that there is a new deal in the works for defensive tackle Aaron Donald. The Rams front office under no illusion that he will sign for anything less than top dollar. Snead casually acknowledged that Donald is poised to supersede Ndamukong Suh as the game's highest paid defensive player. Buffalo Sabres General Manager Jason Bottrill getting set for a news conference 1 hour from now. Bottrill will address the media. We will carry it live. The Instigators return to take over the show coming up at 2 o'clock, and we'll carry Jason Bottrill's news conference live. Sabres cleaned out their lockers the other day. Bisons with their third game of the season right now. They're playing an afternoon game in Pawtucket right now. The Herd on top of the Pawtucket Red Sox, 5-4, that game in the bottom of the fourth inning. Home opener for the Bisons against Indianapolis coming up tomorrow, downtown Buffalo at 2 o'clock first pitch. Villanova's Jalen Brunson is headed to the NBA draft. The NCAA Player of the Year says he's decided to enter the draft and hire an agent. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. And joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, our Saints linebacker, who's coming to Buffalo this weekend as part of Frank Reich's Call to Courage Award breakfast. Demario Davis is going to be presented with the 2018 Call to Courage Award by Frank Reich, and he joins us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Demario, John Murphy, Donald Jones up here in Buffalo. Thanks for coming on the show with us here today.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
Congratulations. What does this mean to you, getting this award from Frank Reich, the Call to Courage Award?
I think it's a huge honor. It's a huge honor for somebody to recognize, my faith and, what it means, what Christ means to me in my life, not just on the field, but off the field and everything. So it's a huge honor. I think even more important, it just continues to extend the platform that I get to use to share the gospel and the power of Christ in one's life. When I think about the person I was before, my life was radically changed by Jesus Christ coming in my life and the man I am now as a husband and a father to my children and as a role model to a lot of individuals. I think having that platform is huge just to do what we're here to do, and that's to take the gospel forward.
Demario, you talked a lot about having Christ in your life, and you were just saying before you are who you are now, I guess you were a different person. At what age did you really make this transition and bring God into your life?
I think I had always known who God was, but that relationship really happened. And when I was 20 years old, it was my second year in college, and the team chaplain just really started to spend time with me and break down the word and, really challenged me on a lot of things. You know, I always went to church, so I thought I was a Christian, but he would show me things where my life and the word, not in a non-judgmental way, it just didn't line up. And, as I started to spend more time with him and break down the word and just understand different things that I hadn't looked at before inside God's word, he just became real to me. And I realized that I needed a heart change. I needed to welcome him in for my life to look like, for me to be a real imitator of Christ. And slowly but surely that happened. And fire was lit in me that never went away.
Hey, Demario, I wonder, I've read about this where your cousin was Steve McNair, the former Titans quarterback who got off to a great start in the NFL, who tragically was killed not too long ago. How much of a role did that play in maybe your conversion or the way you approach things now, losing your cousin in such a tragic and sudden way?
Yeah, that was very unfortunate. I think it didn't play a huge role in my conversion, even though it was kind of around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've always been a person that tried to use wisdom and learn from the people that have gone in front of me. And so I kind of saw what went on and, you know, kind of heard the rumors and, you know, heard a lot about that situation. I think, but more importantly, I don't really try to use that as, even though I do notice it and try to learn and say, okay, some decisions you might want to try to stay away from. I think more importantly for me, it's about glorifying Christ in all I do, you know. And so that's what I really try to do is be an imitator. So it's not trying to stay away from certain things. It's trying to pursue holiness. It's trying to pursue holiness in a way that that kind of guides my life through the decision-making process.
You know, on the positive side, you were young when he was playing. What did he teach you about the league? What did you learn from him just watching him while he was playing in the league?
Well, there was a huge generational gap between us, so it wasn't like we just had a lot of heart-to-heart conversations.
Right.
Even though I do remember times when we were young and I would play with him and go out and visit him out of his house in Mississippi. I think the greatest example that he left for me as far as playing the game is always be available. And so you look at the toughness that he displayed. A lot of times, you know, this guy be out there with broke fingers, broke toes, you know, torn muscles, and he still be on the field, you know, and going at it. And so I think when you hear his teammates and his coaches talk about his toughness, you know, that it just kind of is a lasting impression on people. And so that's just something I think I tried to mimic and have be a part of me is, you know, always be available. You know, we all hurting at some point in the season, but, you know, your teammates need you. And when those, you know, games get tough and people counting on you, you can't just because you got a little pain stay out.
On the line with Saints linebacker DeMario Davis, coming to Buffalo this weekend for Frank Reich's Call to Courage Award. He'll get the Call to Courage Award. And you look at some of the guys who've won this, you're in good company, DeMario, when you think about people like Curtis Martin and Kurt Warner, London Fletcher, Lorenzo Alexander last year. Just the names of previous award winners for the Call to Courage Award has to get your attention a little bit, I would think, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I know a lot of those individuals. You know, I know Curtis, I know Kurt, you know, I know Lorenzo, I know Thomas Davis, I know Ben Watson, I know a lot of guys that have won it. And I think the amazing thing is to me is I have a tremendous amount of respect for those guys, not because of anything that they've done on the football field, but the type of men they are, the type of husbands they are, the type of fathers they are, the type of influence that they have and how they're using that influence to serve the kingdom. And I think for me to be in that conversation, you know, it's sometimes hard to kind of look at yourself in the mirror and see exactly what other people see. But when you know you're in that type of conversation, I always say, you know, look at the 3 to 5 people you hang around and that you're associated with, and that'll tell you who you are. And to be associated with that type of company, I think it says a lot.
DeMario, you said you know Lorenzo Alexander, and he's probably listening right now. Matter of fact,
he listens a lot.
We get him on the show quite often as he's talked about wanting to get into the media. So what scoop can you give us on Lorenzo?
He's just a first-class dude. I mean, I got to meet him, I think, a couple years back when I started working more with NFLPA. And, man, just first-class individual is always 5 steps ahead of the game. You know, he's done did his research. He knows a lot about a lot of stuff. And so he's just always been a cat that I can lean on for information and, you know, just always been a first-class dude.
I don't mean positive scoop. I mean negative scoop.
I ain't got no dirt on him. I ain't got no dirt on him.
All right. I'll let that one go.
And, DeMario, one thing I want to ask you about in your role, I want to ask you about playing and your role as a player, but off the field, haven't you been recruited by the league to be part of their new players council that came up last fall just to find ways to get players involved in their communities? Tell me about that and what you've been doing in that regard.
Well, yeah, I've been a part of that, but I wouldn't say it's been a league type of recruiting. This is something that was initiated by players.
Okay.
The Players Coalition began with players who were working in social spaces. They've been working in social spaces for about, you know, 2 years or 2+ years. And, you know, just wanted to bring our work together collectively and kind of leaned into the league, asking them for their support, you know, and with everything that happened this past year, around the game. I think the owners in the league just wanted to support players, and you know, they did. They wanted to do that, you know, financially and mentally, emotionally as well. And so they started to lean in, and you know, as we set up meeting with legislation, they would come along with us. They would support us in a lot of our things going forward. But I think the things that we try to focus on is the Players Coalition. We try to focus on criminal justice reform. We try to focus on education and economic stability in poor communities, and we try to focus on police and community engagement. Those are kind of like our three pillars, and we've been working in cities such as Boston and Chicago and Atlanta and New York, and that's the kind of some of the work you've been seeing in Seattle, Philly, and you know, and going to move on, moving forward, going towards like Kentucky and New Orleans, and so we just. It's been a blessing for a lot of these things to kind of come to fruition, the type of spaces that we've been able to get into and to advocate for people who are working on grassroots and can't necessarily get their voices heard, to be able to amplify those voices, to be able to go in meetings with legislation and not just for it to be a photo op or op-ed, but to really be able to go in and express opinions and move towards change has just really been huge for us.
Now, how do you feel like it's you're being embraced as you go city to city? How's everybody embracing you guys?
I think what the unique thing is, it's not like a lot of times we go to these cities. We're going to foreign places because we have players who are working in the cities that they play in. So in Philly, you know, we have Malcolm Jenkins and Chris Long. You know, out there working in New York is me, Josh McGowan. Kelvin Beecham. In Boston, you got Devin McCourty. So, you know, and the unique thing is you got players in these cities who these people kind of love and respect. But not only do they love and respect them as players, they have to respect them as people who are concerned about the things that are going on in their city, because when we step in these spaces, we've done our research. We've had our researchers, you know, gather all the facts for us and equip us with the knowledge to be able to go in and have knowledgeable conversations. And you know, it's like, no, we're not okay with the things that are going on in this city. And I think it also gives them, you know, a lot of the legislation like a Switzerland. You know, it's because people on both sides of the fence, you know, no matter what party they're with, you know, they care about these issues but maybe feel different. But when you're talking to a player about it, you like the player, it's not like there are political things that are in the background that you have to fight against. And so... we've been able to be very well embraced. I mean, a lot of times the turnaround has been exceptional. You know, we ask for a meeting on one day, and then a day or two, we have a meeting when a lot of the people have to wait, you know, weeks to months just to get a phone call back.
Yeah, and you know what? You're right. I was wrong on that. It's not a league initiative. It is the Players Coalition. And yet last December, I think it was, the league came up with a bunch of money, right? The league's donating several million dollars to help get some of these programs off the ground. Isn't that right?
Say that again?
The league, the NFL, has pledged, anyway, large sums of money to help the Players Coalition get done some of their initiatives, right?
Yeah. So it's approximately, I think, 89 to 90 million over a certain amount of years. I know the first year is like 5, and then next year is like 9.5 nationally. Then it scales up to like 12 a year. And that's at the national level, but they also just agreed to open up a matching fund on each team on a local level to where players can do work in the community and the league will match it. Anything in social justice spaces.
Gotcha. Demario Davis, our guest, coming to Buffalo this weekend. The Saints linebacker are going to get the Call to Courage Award at Frank Reich's annual Call to Courage Award breakfast. Demario, let's talk a little bit about football. Two different stints with the Jets and now the team that drafted you. You are, as a free agent, you go to the New Orleans Saints. Tell us about this move and what took you to New Orleans.
Oh, man, I think I was a person that always admired Drew Brees from a distance. When you look at the things he's been able to do in this game from an offensive perspective, as a defensive person watching, it's unbelievable, you know. And the type of points he's been able to put up and the type of production he's been able to do on the offensive side of the ball. And so when you've been in a situation, I played for Rex Ryan and Todd Bowles, two defensive-minded head coaches, I think you're always trying to win games defensively. And so You know, for me to be able to play with somebody like Drew Brees and Sean Payton in that offense, you know, it's like a dream come true. It's like a match made in heaven. And so I'm just excited about the opportunity that's before me. I think they have a really good team. They were a play away from being in conference championship last year. So when I'm looking at the opportunity that's here, you know, I can't help but be excited about it. And so that's just what I'm looking forward to.
Now, we all watched that play as they were – I felt like they were the team that was going to the Super Bowl last year. We all watched that play, and it didn't work out, and the Vikings beat them on a crazy play at the end of the game. Have you had a chance to speak to any of the guys on the team about that play and about how the season ended for them?
No, I didn't. You know, it was crazy.
Mario?
Mario, you still there? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's right.
I said what was crazy was I actually reached out to Marcus last year. I didn't know who he was, but I just saw kind of the attack that he was getting on the internet and just kind of told him, you know, bad plays are going to happen in the game, in any game for all of us, but it's not about what happened to us, but about how we respond to it. And he appreciated it. He appreciated it and reached back out to me. Never knew that I would one day, you know, end up being a saint and being a teammate. So, but I haven't talked to anybody. I doubt they even talk about that play. It's just probably one of those things that you just kind of, you know, let go.
Yeah, don't bring that up. Hey, man, don't bring that up in this locker room.
Hey, Demario, is this your first visit back to Buffalo since you played here with the Jets last September?
That is true.
That turned out to be, I mean, the Jets lost, but you had a big day that day, right? Did you have 14 tackles in the Jets game against the Bills last September 10th, opening day?
Yeah, it was. I think a good game statistically would have been felt a lot better if we got the win, but you guys got it.
Now, Demario, you going from you play with the Jets, you play with Cleveland, so you're coming from the north now going south, but you're going to a division in that NFC South that is very competitive, a lot of athletes that you're going to be facing down there. Have you thought about that, just the difference in the type of football that you're going to face down there from what you face up here?
Yeah, I think you can kind of think about it and just kind of imagine what it's like, but you don't really know until you're in it. I do think it's a tremendous amount of talented teams and really good teams in the division. We played this division last year, so I played New Orleans, played Carolina, played Tampa, and played Atlanta. So, you know that not only are these good teams, they all have really good quarterbacks. And so anytime you got quarterbacks, you know the offense is going to be very expanded, and so you kind of got to be ready for that. And it's part of the game. So as you go from division to division, you know, it changes. It was a huge shock when I went from the AFC East to the AFC North, you know, and so understanding that, it was just a much more of a run-heavy game, you know, playing Baltimore and Pittsburgh and when I was in Cleveland. Now it's just another transition, but you adapt to it, you know, it's just part of the game.
Yeah, but be honest with us. You saw that dome down there, and you were like, yeah, I get to be warm now. I'm going to go ahead back south.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always – no matter where I went, man, I've always been a country boy, I say, and I've always been a southern boy. And so, you know, when I had the opportunity to come back south, man, I could not pass up on it. So it just feels good. I say it's like coming home. So
yeah.
Feels good to be back.
Well, coming north this weekend, I would advise you to bring a sweater. It's a little chilly up here, Demario. But we look forward to meeting you Saturday. I'll be emceeing the event Saturday morning and look forward to shaking your hand and welcoming you back to Buffalo. Thanks very much for coming on with us today.
Thank you, guys, and God bless.
Demario Davis joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. He is the winner of the Call to Courage Award being presented this Saturday morning, 9 o'clock at the Hyatt Regency. It's Frank Reich's 17th annual Call to Courage Award breakfast. Demario Davis, Saints linebacker. You heard about some of his initiatives off the field and his approach. And he joins an incredible list of guys who've won that award before. If you're interested in tickets, I'm told there are still a few tickets still available. They're $40 each. Table of 10, $400. For sponsorship and ticket information, call 559-1800 or find him on Facebook at AIA Buffalo. The Call to Courage Awards breakfast coming up this Saturday at the Hyatt Regency. Look at the guys who won this, Donald. Kurt Warner, Chad Pennington, Trent Dilfer, John Kitna, London Fletcher, Thomas Davis, Jeff Saturday, Kyle Williams, Scott Chandler, Lorenzo Alexander. And I think I've told you this. One of the best speeches I've ever heard anywhere was given at this breakfast probably 10 years ago now by Curtis Martin, who talked about growing up. I believe he grew up in Pittsburgh, right? Isn't he a Pittsburgh guy? I know he played there. I think he is. Growing up in the terrible ghetto in Pittsburgh and the challenges he faced there and how close he came to being shot to death as a young guy in Pittsburgh, an amazing speech. But that's what goes on at this breakfast, and I'm sure that DeMario Davis will have some great stories to tell.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Oh, yeah. I love stories.
Yeah.
You know, I love to hear guys' backstories. And I think a lot of times we don't know, we never know where these guys are coming from, what these guys have been through. So when you see the stories on ESPN or, you know, the Bills and PSC, they do the stories on the Bills players. When you see stories on different athletes and different people all across the landscape, it's just like, wow, you went through something like that, you know, and now you're actually here. And whether that's, you know, dealing with some health issue, whether that's growing up in a certain situation and getting out, whatever the case may be, it's just amazing to hear those stories. I'm sure he's going to have some stories. And, you know, usually when people have gone through those types of traumatic things, they are, you know, big believers in giving back and really being in the community. And so you get a guy like DeMario Davis, and that is what he believes in.
He'll be good. I'm sure he will. And there's something about that Frank Reich Call to Courage breakfast that almost enhances those stories, just the whole mood of the morning. Looking forward to it. It is this Saturday at the Hyatt Regency, and we gave you the ticket info if you want. Go online, and you can call them up if you're interested in tickets. I don't think they have a whole lot of tickets left, but as of yesterday, they have some tickets remaining, and you may want to hear DeMario Davis at that point. Frank will be here for that. Again, the number for ticket information, let me find it here. The number is 559-1800. Frank Reich, the new head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, 17 years he's run this breakfast, and now he's got the new job, head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. A lot going on with Frank Reich, obviously. I'm sure Frank will talk a little bit about the Colts on Saturday morning here in Buffalo. But he's got his team this week already in their workouts. Their off-season conditioning program is underway. He addressed his team for the first time this week, and he had a little bit of comments today and late yesterday about what he told the team. Here's what Frank Reich had to say in his first few days as head coach of the Colts.
I want football players, guys who know how to play the game of football, right? We want guys, Chris and I must have said this 1,000 times, guys who love ball. Because I know if you love ball, you'll love coming to work and love getting better. And then guys who love to play for their teammates. Guys who love to play for their teammates. And that we make each other better. Man, I don't know anything else other than that. I don't know anything else other than that. That's all I got. Is let's push each other to be better. Every little detail matters. That's why I know it's phase one. I know it's, you know, okay, rah-rah. You know, don't be too rah-rah. It's phase one. No, but now, this is when we get paid to be rah-rah, right? We got to build it now. I got to build it now. We start today, right? We start today. So let's make every person matters, every detail matters, every rep matters, every meeting. In sum, everything matters, man. Everything that we do matters. It all adds up. It's all going to be put out on the field on Sundays.
Frank Reich addressing his team for the first time as they got together this week. Genuine stuff, earnest stuff from Frank there.
It's the truth. It's phase one, right? So you'll have players in there like, come on, man. Like, we're working out every day. I mean, what's the whole rah-rah speech for? But he is trying to get his message across to the team. And like you said, look, he has to pump his team up to work out, you know, because all you're doing right now is working out. You're not doing anything else. You actually come into work and you pump iron every day. You see the same guys and you just lifting weights and you go on the field and you run. But there's no football being played.
Right.
You know, so he's trying to get those guys pumped up for that. They have some, it's a big transition for the guys that were there last year now, new coaching staff that's coming in. So he wants to make sure that everybody understands this is what it's going to be moving forward. This is the president that I am actually setting. And I'm sure Coach McDermott was the same way last year with this team. And when these guys get back, it's going to be some sort of a rah-rah speech. It won't be an everyday rah-rah speech to the team, but it's the first time that Frank Reich is actually meeting those guys. And so he wants to get his message across.
You know what they've done here in years past? I'm sure a lot of teams do it, is set up a a competition among the in the conditioning work.
Yeah.
Assign guys to different teams and set certain targets. You know, you got to have this number for bench press, this number for this drill. That's probably a good way to kind of engage the competitiveness that these guys naturally have, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was even a part of something last year, not with the team, but, you know, a part of actually putting a drill together. It was fun. It was a dodgeball game. It was pretty fun, you know, and the guys are out there playing dodgeball. And we had some videos last year. Our producer, Jay Harris, actually brought up. But they had, you know, I think they made the quarterbacks last year throw the ball with their left hand. You know, and dodgeball.
I remember that now. Yes.
Yeah, they
yes.
had to throw it with their left hand. They couldn't because it's like you're a quarterback, man. But I wonder if they were like, you know, they banned dodgeball from schools.
Right.
You can't play that anymore because, you know, you could end up picking on certain kids. I wonder if there was like one person on the team that everybody picked on, like the fat lineman. You can't catch a ball for anything. I'm going to throw it right at you first.
Maybe that's something that got some guys to consider retirement. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Not going through that again.
I'm not going through dodgeball.
I'm out.
I'm out.
Again.
I'm out of here.
Sorry. I couldn't resist.
Will you and Steve do a rah-rah speech before the first show?
I will. Steve will listen.
You'll do the rah-rah speech.
Yeah,
I can't imagine you doing a rah-rah
Steve's
speech.
Steve's coming out to do the show. We announced it at noon today. Steve Tasker is going to be the new co-host of the new show, which starts Monday, April 23rd, One Bills Live. Steve Tasker will join us every day to be the co-host of that show. If you miss that, you can go back to our website and check it out. It'll be up there soon. As you can replay the first 25 minutes of the show or so. All right, we got some phone calls to take. When we return, if you have anything to talk about, give us a call, 803-0550, and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Plus, NFL True and False when we return. At 2 o'clock today, we give way to the instigators. Hockey is back. Jason Bottrill's news conference coming up at 2. We'll carry it live. Actually, Craig Ravine and Andrew Peters will be here to do that. So we got about 32 minutes left in our show. So come on back for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back, John Murphy. Donald Jones here until 2 o'clock today. Yeah. We don't care. Another hour. We can do another hour. There's plenty to talk about. But Jason Bottrill's news conference starts at 2. The instigators back here in studio. We'll switch out the background behind us.
Make it look like you're going to instigators.
I just talked to Reve over there.
Yeah.
He didn't look too excited. But Craig Reve and Andrew Peters take over at 2 to host the Jason Bottrill postseason news conference. Let's take a few phone calls. Here is Steve from Tonawanda. Hi, Steve. Go ahead. You're on the air. Hello, Steve.
I thought that was my thing.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes, sir.
Perfect. Thank you. First of all, Donald, just wanted to say, going to miss having you on the show. Really enjoyed listening to you over the past year, a couple years, and wish you all the best in your future endeavors.
Thank you, Steve.
And the reason I'm calling was actually in regards to the Curtis Martin story. I was at that breakfast, I think it was in 2002 or 2003, I can't remember how long ago, just young and listening, and he told a story about how he was signing autographs and some little boy asked him to go to his birthday party, and Curtis Martin showed up at the kid's house with a cake and with a gift, and that is just a small example of who the guys are that go to that and get that award.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him and Trent Dilfer were the two that I saw. And, you know, just listening to DeMario Davis recently and just hearing his story and who he is as a person, that's truly an honor to win that award, I believe. And it's pretty cool to hear the guys' stories going through it.
I agree.
And, last thing I wanted to say was it's really kind of refreshing lately. All I wanted to do for the past month was talk about quarterbacks. And it's kind of refreshing to not talk about quarterbacks just for a couple hours. And I appreciate that. And, you know, I love the show, guys. Really, really love it. Keeps me invested in this, in Bills football for the season. So thank you.
Thanks, Steve. That's awfully nice.
You know, I think, and this is something that young players, when they're coming into the – is somebody in the car?
We have somebody in the car? I don't know what that is.
Young players, when they're coming into the league, they really have to understand the impact that they make on people, not just children. Especially children. When you do something for a kid, that and you see that kid's face just light up, or like they have nothing to say, they're just frozen or something like that. It's really, it's truly a great feeling for yourself. but it's a greater feeling for that kid because they won't forget things like that. And I remember being in a punt, pass, and kick competition, and there was a player named Keyshawn Johnson that my mom just can't stand to this day because he would not sign an autograph for me.
Why wouldn't he sign? What did he do?
He said, "I don't sign autographs." And we were down. We were in the competition at the old Giant Stadium on the field, and we're doing the whole punt, pass, and kick. And went over to get his autograph, and he was like, "I don't sign autographs." He said, "I don't sign autographs on game day." And so my mom, to this day, like, she can't stand him. When she's seen him on TV, he'd be on TV every Sunday with the Sunday NFL countdown.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, "Oh, turn the channel. I can't stand him." You know, and when you are that person, though, that is out in the community and you are that person that will sign autographs, take the time to sit and talk to somebody or something like that, it's a great feeling for that person, whether it's a child or whether it's for an adult. You know, I remember being a player here, and now this was a little different because Stevie had an endorsement from Vizio, but we went to this guy's house and gave him a TV. Now, Stevie's thing was every time he scored a touchdown, he had to give out a TV. And so he scored a touchdown. He called me up. He's like, "Yo, I need you to go with me. I got to go to this person's house, give him a TV." So we pull up. It's like 8 o'clock at night. We pull up. It's dark, which is kind of crazy. It was just him and I at some random person's house. I don't even know why I agreed to do this thing. But we get to the house, and we open the door. And when I tell you this guy went crazy, he and his family, they went crazy, bonkers, you know. And I've had recently, since I've been back on the show, he actually is tweeting me like, "I'm that guy you brought the TV." He might be listening right now. You know, "I'm that guy you brought the TV." And it really can brighten a person's day. It can just change their way of thinking, all of that stuff. Yeah. And I sat down last night at Fridays next to a guy, and he kept looking at me. He's looking at me. And you could tell when somebody knows who you are, and he's looking. And he's like, "Are you Donald Jones?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Now, we all have bad days, you know, where you really don't feel like talking at that time. And yesterday wasn't a bad day for me, but it could have been. But even if it was, he wanted to talk about everything. He's like, "Man, I play basketball at UB. I'm a big fan. I listen to the show all the time. I work at the Texas Long, what is the name of that restaurant?
Steakhouse?
Yeah, the Steakhouse.
Yeah.
He's like, "I work there." He's like, "I listen to you guys every single day, you know." And just the fact that I sat there, ate my meal, and talked to him, I'm sure it just changed his whole day. And he went home. He's like, "Yo, that was great." And I wish and I hope that young players understand that when they're coming into this
Difficult for you to do that, right?
No, it wasn't. But see, it wasn't for me because, number one, I had that experience with Keyshawn Johnson.
Right.
Number two, I came from very humble beginnings, you know, where I came from nothing, really nothing. And for me to get to that point and – to be an undrafted player and go through all of that stuff and dealing with the kidney disease that I knew I had, but nobody else knew that I had, it was like, "Yo, what? I'm not too big for any of this stuff. This stuff can be taken from me like that."
A call here for you, Donald, from Milton in Buffalo. Milton, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good. Real good.
I just got off work and found out that Donald leaving the show, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
We've been talking about it for a couple months, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
At least a month.
Oh, I must have missed it, man. You know what I'm saying? But
Friday's Donald's last day.
You know what I mean? Just want you to know you'll be missed, man. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know? Thank you.
I got a new show coming out, huh?
Yeah, new show, One Bills Live. Steve Tasker will join us starting April 23rd, a week from Monday.
Okay, you know I'm going to tune in. Number one Bills fan, Milton. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Thank you.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Thanks, Milton. There's Kenneth in Buffalo. Welcome, Kenneth. You're on the air.
That was great. I know what you're saying.
Hello? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
I'm actually still laughing because when you said, "You know what I'm saying," I just thought that was hilarious. I needed that. I wanted to congratulate John and Donald, excuse me, and thank you for a wonderful job you've done these past couple years.
No, thank you, man.
Got me through some dark times in dead skin country. I was down in Washington, D.C.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Refreshing to be able to hear Bills talk all day long, especially football. So, thank you for your hard work and look forward. Wish you blessings and a good life after this. Hopefully you can come back to us and continue what you've been doing.
Thank you.
Thanks. Here's Brad calling from Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Brad. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, John and Donald.
Hi.
First of all, Donald, yeah, I'm going to miss you as well. You know, you brought a different dimension to the show, if you will. I can remember years ago when you first started, you were this little boy, maybe a little timid and whatnot, and John did a great job in molding you into the man you are today.
Yeah.
When I came here, I was a little boy.
Yes, and I molded you.
No, I'm going to miss your sarcastic comments and you know, your battles with the other Lorenzo.
Yeah,
but I just wanted to call in because I'm not sure I would be able to because of work, Thursday or Friday. You have a great one, Donald, and I hope you do stop by on the show because you do bring that dimension that I love every day to listen to. You guys have a great one. And
thanks, Brad.
Thank you, Brad. Yeah.
There's a lot of nice comments from you.
It is.
And I get credit for molding you into the man you are. Speaking of Lorenzo, he's reached out to us. He wants to come on the show later in this week to say goodbye to you.
Cool.
Yeah.
Bring it on, Lorenzo.
That is going to be must-see TV.
Oh, man. We got to get an hour out of Lorenzo. We can't just do the one 30-minute segment.
Here is Patrick calling from North Tonawanda. Go ahead, Patrick.
Yes, Donald. John, hello. Donald, I wish you the best. I've been dying to call in and share this story. Today's the perfect time. A few years ago, training camp with Vince Young, I was sitting out there trying to get a signature. I had my Fitz jersey, which I love Fitz.
Mm-hmm.
Vince signed it. I ended up sitting there and almost thought he was going to be my only signature. I started getting nervous. You came over at the end, saved my day, gave it a signature. I'll never forget that. Chatted with me for a few minutes. It was awesome. I just wanted to thank you and wish you the best.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you.
Thanks, Patrick. That's a nice memory. You know, it occurs to me, your last day is Friday. You're going to be here the next 2 days.
Yeah.
We can not talk quarterbacks for the next 2 days and just talk about Donald Jones. Thank you, Donald, for 2 days.
No.
Some of our listeners might like that.
I mean,
the guy who called
like
and said,
that,
thank you for not talking about quarterbacks.
Listen, call up. I appreciate all of it, but we got to talk some football. We got 3 hours. I can't do 3 hours.
Here's a guy who wants to talk about quarterbacks, I believe. Uh-oh. Brad calling from Rochester. Go ahead, Brad.
South. We just went south.
Hey, guys. That would have been cool as hell if you and Stevie showed up at my house with a television set. I would have been ordering pizza and crack out the red stripes for you guys, man.
The red stripes?
That team that you played on with Chan and CJ and Freddie and David Nelson, and Stevie's always been my favorite. I'm going to miss your takes on that team because you were so close with them and still are. And the locker room stuff and the stories outside of football, like you just told with the delivering of the TV sets. I hope you get to come on once in a while as a guest with John and talk some football. I really want to hear your take on the draft when it's done, since you've been talking about it with everybody for so long.
That's what I mean. How are you going to just walk away from the draft?
You know, I can call in. I haven't been invited yet.
It's Donald in Jersey.
Our producer, Jay Harris, he hasn't said, hey, you want to call into the show?
Donald in Jersey. Go ahead. You're on the air. Donald in New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just your caller.
I'm going to change my voice.
Is that it, Brad? Go ahead. You have something else?
Yeah, the show's great. Like, my girlfriend even listens now. John, your show's awesome, and so I'm sure whoever comes in is going to do it. Steve does a great job, too. But, Donald, we're going to miss you, man. I'll definitely miss you. My take is this. I was watching A Football Life on NFL Network, and I don't know if you've ever seen this one, but it's an episode of the National Championship game when Leinart and Vince Young were playing against each other. And they interview them throughout the whole episode. And they interview them now, like after they're out of the NFL. And they're basically talking about their shortcomings when they got drafted and how fame went to their head and how they would have done things totally different. They talked to their coaches from the NFL, Jeff Fisher, and they're saying the same stuff, like they didn't work hard enough, the fame went to their head, the endorsements went to their head. Hmm. And I got done watching the episode, and out of these four quarterbacks, the one that popped in my head was Baker Mayfield. And I'm like, man, like, that scared me. It spooked me off from drafting him out of all four of them now. And I kind of wanted him more than all of them. And I think, Donald, you were kind of leaning towards Baker. But after watching this episode, I'm just like, man, could that be him? Like, the antics that you see and the ego and maybe, you know, the fame will go to his head and the endorsements and maybe he wouldn't work as hard as he would. If I was drafting any of these four quarterbacks and I was the coach, I would make them watch that Football Life episode with Leinart and Vince Young and watch how they talk about how their careers went poorly because of the stuff they did wrong while they were in the league.
What do you think of that, Donald?
About Baker or about
about Baker.
About Baker. You know, Baker Mayfield has really gotten his reputation from really like three different instances that we've seen.
Yeah.
And people have compared him to Johnny Manziel and all of that stuff. I'll say this. He's a good football player. Now, he's a very good football player.
Yes.
So let's set that aside. When you talk about his antics, and we talked about this, I think, yesterday, you saw the one thing happen in Arkansas when he got in trouble. You've seen him with I believe it was the crotch grab during the Kansas game, and you've seen him stick the flag in the ground. Now, those are things that you can't have happen, right, as the franchise quarterback in the NFL. You really can't. You have to be able to suppress your emotions. You can't just go off the rails and do crazy stuff when you are the franchise quarterback. You can't really do it when you're anybody on an NFL football team, but when you're the guy that everybody in the entire stadium, the entire city is looking to, you can't do that stuff. So, I mean, I don't know if those three things, for me, would put him in the category of if he got all this money, the fame would go to his head. I understand he plays with a lot of passion, and they will, whatever team he ends up on, they will have to suppress that. But I think this is a guy that comes from true humble beginnings. This is a guy that, you know, has had to work and fight and scratch and claw his way to a Heisman Trophy and to this point right now. And I don't know if I see him really finishing that anytime soon, like finishing that work ethic and having that chip on his shoulder.
I'd say that there's a lot to like about Baker Mayfield, you know, and as a quarterback. But I go back, I told you this too. Mm-hmm. A month ago, I had a conversation just about almost a month ago with an NFL scout who had scouted these top-level quarterbacks. And Brandon Rochester, the caller we just had, sort of echoes what the scout told me. There's a little bit of concern. Look, Mayfield's probably going to go first round, no question. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But there is concern among people who do this for a living, scout players, scout quarterbacks, that his ego, his self-awareness might get in the way of his greatness.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not talking about crotch grabbing or – I guess I am talking about that, but it's not like he did – any one of those things is not a disqualifier. But the whole package, the stuff you just mentioned that he's been associated with, and maybe just his approach – an NFL scout told me that's a concern. Probably going to get drafted in the first round, but that's a concern among some NFL talent evaluators,
you know,
what he's all about and how he approaches the game.
To be honest, if the Bills couldn't find if they couldn't find a trade partner because of that stuff, I don't think it's going to happen. I think he'll still go in the top 10, but he could slide to the Bills at number 12, you know, just because people have those questions. And I wonder if he slid, if the Bills would then take him, because – We've seen all of these signs, and we know they worked them out like four different times.
Yeah.
So we've seen all of these signs. The Bills have moved up. We kind of know that they want to get a quarterback. We don't know for sure, but all of these signs show that they want to get a quarterback. And if you get a Baker Mayfield to slide to you at 12, you haven't had to trade anything away or any of that stuff. Do you draft them? That will say a lot about Baker Mayfield and their thoughts on Baker Mayfield if they were to pass on him, if he slid to them at 12.
One more phone call. Donnie in Buffalo on the air with us. Donnie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Hey, guys.
What's up?
I was wondering. I don't get a chance to check the show every day. I don't know if you mentioned what would you be doing next.
Like, what are you going to be doing, Donald? I know the answer to this.
Yeah. Well, media-wise, you know, I'm working on some things down there in New York City. Reuben Brown and I will be doing a podcast down there in New York City called the Buffalo Soldiers Podcast.
You're going to use that
music?
That
would be fun. No, we're not going to use that music
because
we could get in trouble for that, using that music. But we actually, Reuben has a friend who was a part of Tribe Called Quest. And so he's actually creating some music for us. And so that'll be fun. I'm going home to be with my family, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call. We're going to break. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
If you just joined us, we had a big announcement today, a brand new show coming up at this time on these stations starting Monday, April 23, One Bills Live. Steve Tasker is going to be our new co-host as Donald Jones departs. Donald's got a couple of days left with us. More chances for people to phone in and tell you how great you are. You're going to show up for that.
Everybody call in. Call in. It's my farewell tour.
We're going to break now and turn it over to the instigators. We've got the news conference coming up, the live news conference carried with Jason Botfield of the Sabres. So thanks very much for tuning in. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Root, our producer Jay Harris. Instigators next with the Bottrell News Conference. We're back at noon with the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.